Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. All right, Mom, I heard that you are getting into the national trend of pickleball.
That is correct. I have not played pickleball before. I have watched it, but one of the pros from me learning to play paddle has actually opened up a new club called Boston Pickle Club.
Mm-hmm. And sounds like fun.
It's a great fun. And I understand as we get older, it's a great sport for older people because of the, doesn't hurt your hips and your knees, much like tennis might or paddle tennis might.
Mm-hmm.
And super excited. They're going to have an open house and I'm going to go try it. And they've got 7 courts. You can have open play. You can get groups. And I think it's just such a great idea. And it's like the fastest growing sport in North America.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you talk to people in Texas, they're playing. You talk to people in Florida, they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited. And I want to learn about what it means to be, what the kitchen is. And I want to know what I need to do to keep it in place.
What is the kitchen?
I don't know the answer to that question. But I know that you can't go into the kitchen for certain moments of pickle play.
I see.
But it's a great, I'm very excited. I've been wanting to do it. It's great to have and to know that they're indoor pickle courts because obviously our winters are so long. And then the mud season isn't great either because it's wet and outside. So
yeah.
New tip. That's my new thing this year, 2024. I try to do one new thing a year and pickleball is it.
Oh, all right. Well, for those of you who don't know, Paige takes her sports very seriously. So by the end of 2024, she'll probably be somewhere on the leaderboard for her pickleball club.
I wouldn't go that far, but it should be a lot of fun. And it's nice to be able to. One of the nice things about different sports is that you can kind of go anywhere and meet people. And sports open up a door of commonality. And you can travel places and still play your sport and meet new people. So that's what I look forward to.
Awesome. So again, this month we are talking about curb appeal in the New England spring. And this, we're going to talk about brass tacks, like exterior maintenance post-winter, because sometimes that's a pretty big deal. We're not too far away from that big 2015 snowpocalypse, right? We all lived through that. We all remember those ice dams that caused all kinds of havoc on our homes. So why don't we talk about some common issues homeowners might face as the snow melts and we enter spring?
Well, good question. I think the first thing is, as the winter is moving away from us and we're moving towards spring, we oftentimes look carefully at our homes and realize there's been a lot of damage either through backup of gutters being that were filled with water, backing up into your house. Sometimes you don't notice that.
Yeah.
You tend to be able to be a little bit more observant of wood rot, right?
Yeah.
You know, the winter's been harsh. You've been throwing salt on your walkways and at the front, you know, like I have a wooden front porch.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's hard.
It's hard because you've been scraping it with shovels, et cetera. So I think as the snow melts, you have to take a harsh look at your house and see what things have been directly affected by the winter.
Yeah. And a lot of this boils down to water management, which anybody who owns a home knows that water is like the scariest thing going on in a whole house, right? Because
it's the kiss of death.
It is the kiss of death. Once you get a serious water problem, it quickly escalates into a massive, expensive problem. So if you do take care of it, you know, the houses are built to keep water out. So if you do maintain your house, then you will make sure that happens. But there's a lot of stuff that we can do post-winter. So how do we prioritize? You know, for me, again, it starts with that water stuff. So you take a look around like, hey, is my, are my, any of my gutters backing up? Are they you know, are they draining to the right place? You know, a lot of people don't know this, but if your downspouts just go straight down, that's a problem. Right? That is asking for water problems in your basement. But if you just go to Home Depot and spend like $15 to get a gutter extender, you can solve that right away. And that matters a lot when you get the combination of rain coming down and snow melting at the same time. So you get that double whammy of water hitting your house at once.
I also think too, preparing for winter and reevaluating after winter is kind of like when you put on your list that you're going to have the HVAC person come in and test your heat before winter starts, and your HVAC person comes in and tests your air conditioning before summer starts. At that time of the year, you need to really kind of walk around your house and make sure you're ready, either ready for the winter, or you've seen how hard the winter has been on your home, and you might observe things have come up just that winter that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I have a bathroom vent that on the vent, there is a little collar that needs to stay on that vent to prevent water. I actually saw water spots in my mudroom two stories down.
Oh my gosh.
And the vent, the bathroom vent through the roof had lost its collar due to a heavy winter. And unbeknownst to me, it was just coming down through the walls. And I couldn't figure out, I saw these water spots in my mudroom two stories away from the damage. And it didn't even occur to me until I started investigating and going up each floor. Yeah. So sometimes things happen on the outside that directly affect the inside, but we can't even figure out what that means. I mean, I could have thought it was a toilet leaking, or I thought it was a shower leaking, but in fact, it was a very simple $5 fix that had been moved off the center because of the tough winter we had in wind.
Yeah. And that's actually another piece of it too, because it's not just water is the number one problem, but that's not the only problem. In winter, we spend a lot of our time inside, so we're not looking at the exterior of our house and noticing things. So one thing that you can do is, you know, at the end of winter, just like do a tour around your house. Just take a look around, like see, does anything look like it's loose or, you know, askew or, you know, has a gap or a hole in it? Because you can catch that, some of that stuff you can catch yourself. Obviously, like if you got like a little collar that's sort of way high up on your roof and probably covered by some shingles, like you're probably gonna miss that, but you can catch some of this other stuff if you just do a tour around.
And the thing about it is things may be causing issues that are very inexpensive. Like it's a collar, it's like $5, but it wasn't until it had repercussions that I actually retraced where it was coming from. So ultimately I got to the attic, and in the attic I could see the water.
Yeah.
So I think that, like I said, I think what I try to do is as I go into winter, I hope I'm prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come out of winter, I do the same thing much as I would do with my HVAC, or some people check their smoke detectors for batteries in the fall and then in the spring.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I do, walk around the house. You made a reference to extensions on your gutters.
Yeah.
Oftentimes during the winter with snow and wind, those gutter extenders are in fact knocked off. So when you really go out and walk around your house, you realize that the water from the melting snow is actually going into your corner foundation because the extender is 3 feet further away from it and no longer attached. So
right.
There's some quick home things you can do that don't cost a lot, don't take a lot of time, that just right the ship. And I think that's important to do in the spring.
Yeah, absolutely. So any other preventative measures you think we can do? I mean, clean your gutters, right? In the fall, that's like a number one. Unless you want ice dams, clean those gutters.
The other thing that people do on the outside of their houses is sometimes protect some of their larger plants and some of the more valuable plants that they have by either wrapping them.
Yeah, with like the burlap sack.
The burlap sap, or sometimes there have been kind of A-frames that they put over it because of wind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you've got a really great presence to your house and the winter is harsh on those bushes and you find that year after year you're either replacing them or they're dying, sometimes just because you've either had salt or sand, mm-hmm. too much of that gets into your flower beds and you lose plants. So yeah. I think putting the burlap bags or being prepared for the winter on some of the vegetation can be helpful as well.
We're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll get our joke of the week and a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom. How did the real estate agent pitch the haunted house?
Oh, gosh. You have to give me a clue here.
No clues. Shoot from the hip.
Pitch the haunted house. I have no idea. Maybe like...
How would you pitch a haunted house? One sentence.
This is a great house for Halloween.
That's a good one. So the answer that I have is it's got great bones, just a few spirits.
That's good. Well, I thought it was good. One day a year, you're the best house in the neighborhood.
I know, right? I actually love this question, by the way, because there are regulations on how to disclose whether or not the owner thinks the house is haunted. I'm not 100% sure what they are anymore because it has not come up in my real estate career. So I haven't really revisited the issue since I took the test.
Right.
But yeah, you can't just say whatever you want. You have to follow a certain set of rules.
Yeah. It's true. So unfortunately, I'm not very good at jokes. So I've got to tee up on those myself before I come back.
Right on. Okay. So question from the audience. Our area has a lot of native wildlife and plant life that we love and want to support. What are your tips for creating an exterior that's both attractive and eco-friendly, encouraging biodiversity while also enhancing curb appeal in the spring? So I actually have a lot of wildlife in my neighborhood because we're pretty close to Mass Audubon's habitat. So for better and for worse, the deer just like do a number on my daylilies and the frickin' rabbits. So, but what you can do, I put out a bird feeder, especially in the winter. Animals are looking for food and there's just like not a lot of sources for it. And if you put out a bird feeder, you can support their like health through the winter and a lot more of them survive. And then when you're designing your landscape, you can think a lot about what's native, right? What are native plants that animals will like? And nowadays, it's actually pretty easy to get, you can just buy like a pouch of local wildflowers, right? And you can plant, you just scatter them and they kind of take care of themselves. They're super easy to work with. I did that a number of years ago in a part of my yard where I didn't really want to like plant anything intentionally or like invest a lot of money. I was like, I'll just throw down wildflowers.
Seeds.
Yeah, seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's fine. It's great. So better than what was there before.
I think that unfortunately the deer population has really affected homeowners being able to protect and invest long-term in plants around their house.
Right. We're not a big hunting area of the country. We are not an area with like a lot of big predators. So this is just like Eastern Massachusetts probably has one of the densest deer populations, maybe in the Northeast, right?
So it's a little bit frustrating because people who love their yard and want to make it more natural or put seeds down, they've become kind of these monsters that go out and want to scream at the deer as they're chomping on their beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
So I think I love the natural wildlife. I think throwing them in areas of your yard that may not be as actively used is a great way to brighten up a dark corner or brighten up an area that doesn't really have anything in it. And I've seen people use really pretty, like a part of their backyard they're not going to use. They throw wildflowers and then they put like a bench there so that people can go and sit on the bench and read a book or just enjoy some peace and quiet.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I think there are lots of things you can do to encourage a more natural environment.
Yeah, for sure. So thank you for that great question. If you're a curious cat and would like to get your question answered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.